They'll say, boy, you're real religious. I'd junk your religion. Hey, man, religion take you to hell. Thank God salvation take you to heaven. If I had what some people had, I'd swap it off to a coon dog, drag it off in the holler and shoot the thing, amen. That's what religion will do to you. What I'm saying is decline in morals, abortion, same-sex marriage. I never absolutely ever dreamed in my lifetime that these things would be on our threshold and we've accepted them. We've got movies that glorify this kind of lifestyle. And we ain't got enough preachers that got a backbone that even cried against it. I'm not preaching yet. I told somebody, boy, they got so upset at me. I've got members of our own family that are so upset at me over Joel Osteen. Y'all could see my hair. I really turned gray about it. These what I call cheap grace preachers never mention repentance. Amen. Never mention the word sin. If y'all don't perk up, we ain't going to go home for about 2 hours. Y'all know I'm telling you the God's honest truth. It's what I call cheap grace preachers. And I'll be honest with you, let me give y'all something that really sort of gets y'all upset. Maybe it'll get y'all going a little bit. I was in Salisbury, North Carolina, and they let us stay in the parsonage, and so they had a television. And so I get up every morning on Sunday morning, go in there, turn the television on. And I used to know men like Mays Jackson, Bill Kelly, great preachers in years gone by. They're not even on the air anymore. Oliver Green's not on the air down there. Mays Jackson's not on the air. None of them preachers on the air anymore. So I can get up, turn the radio on, turn TV on. And all of a sudden, how many of y'all remember the Gospel Hour? Would you raise your hand? The Gospel Hour. Used to be on hundreds and hundreds of stations. Amen. I've been in Lynchburg. Can you believe the first time I was ever mooned in my life, I was in Lynchburg University? Made me mad, and I'm still mad over it. That's a God's honest truth. At Liberty University. All right, listen to this. I was there watching television. Now, y'all of you know that... Help me. What's the man's name that died? Jerry Falwell. Now, his son... Nathaniel is now taking over. Jonathan, whatever his name is. The reason why I bring it up is how we're living, Brother Noble, in a time of change. And it's changing like you can't believe. How many of y'all ever seen the Gospel Hour? Raise your hand. How many of y'all remember Jerry Falwell? He always come out in a tie and a white shirt and you know, was always neatly dressed. Y'all remember that? How many of y'all remember the choir back here? Y'all remember the choir? They always wore what? Now, I don't agree with that stuff, and I don't believe that makes you a bit holy, but I'm saying they always wore robes. Amen. They looked neat. They sang them old hymns of Zion. I turned that television on, and before God, I've never seen nothing like that in my life. I stood there. If I'd had false teeth, they'd have fell out. I'm telling you, they had this guy come out there, a great big guy, And he had his shirt unbuttoned down to his navel and didn't even have a tie on. Now, I don't like ties. I'm sorry. That don't make you holy. Say amen. Right. But he come out there and he stood there and he started singing. And I can't think of it. I know his name, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. And the choir, I looked up there in that choir and they're going the cameras around. And I thought, what in the world has happened to old-time Gospel Hour? That's what I thought. Do y'all get it down here? Huh? You'll be shocked to death when you do see it, comparing here and what it is now. You understand what I'm saying? If y'all do, I'll go on. I'm saying what it was here and what it is now. I couldn't believe it. I stood there and I told my wife, I said, I want you to come here and see what I want you to see this, the old-time Gospel Hour. Boy, I'm telling you, we're living in a world of change. And this what I call decline, I never seen nothing like it. And number four, this departure from what I call scriptural truth. Man, did I ever love Oliver Green. I loved Oliver B. Green. Greenville, South Carolina. I could tell you a whole story of that in itself, but I met Dr. Green. I went down there, I wanted to meet him so bad. I was only in my middle 20s, and I drove to Greenville, met Oliver B. Green. He gave me a whole bunch of books hand signed by him. I wouldn't take nothing in the world for him. That place was the most neatest place I ever seen in my life. Well groomed. I mean, flowers everywhere, neatly kept. The lobby was clean. Everything was spotless. Go back down there now. Go there now. Look at the condition of it. And look here, and he's got a son. And I can't believe that kids are raised. And by the way, you cannot substantiate this. Well, I brought my kids up in the house of God. Thank God. Amen. Yeah. But you can't give me a chapter and verse that they won't break your heart. You can't do that. But my point is, it's like Oliver B. Green's children. It seems like every generation we just keep going farther and farther and farther and farther away from God. So I said the departure from scriptural truths. And then deception. Well, that's a good one. Say amen right there. Deception! Well, you wait till I show you this in just a moment. Then that's another earmark. And here's another one. Deliverance at any moment. Thank God, hallelujah. Me and old brother Junior's up on that roof. I thought, damn, dear Lord Jesus, wouldn't it be a good time to exit out of here, that bunch down on the ground, and we caught up here a little farther and higher than it. That ain't going to happen, but I'm just picking. I believe this all in my heart. I believe Christ is going to come at any moment. Let me show you why. And we're back to Zechariah. Now watch this. Are y'all ready? Go back to the book of Zechariah with me, please. Look down in verse 11. Everybody look in verse 11. I want you to write this somewhere in your Bible. Look in verse 11. But they refused to hearken. Number one, they refused to listen. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Hey, we're living in a day and time when people absolutely, they refuse to listen. Look in verse 11. Everybody write this down. They refuse to listen. What do you mean, preacher? Churches in the book of Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Look up here. It's not that God's not speaking, it's just we're not hearing. Amen, preach this. I'm talking about that refusal. That's in verse 11. Now watch this. Please write it down for me. All right, if faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God, and then the Bible plainly says, but they refused to listen, they pulled away the shoulder. Now watch this. I begin to put it in my mind. I told you I got that Jerusalem Post, and I want you to write these down. I know that I'm not going to get it. Most of y'all read the same way I do. Most of y'all stay abreast of the current events, and y'all know what's going on. Me and Brother Art was talking about today. Hey, think about this, swine flu. Who in the name of heaven ever heard of swine flu? Now it's in seven nations. That's on y'all's local news station. On your local, seven nations. And Israel's one of them. Swine flu. Pestilences. Earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars. Show you this. I want you to listen. Food shortages, diseases. Arnold Schwarzenegger, they said tonight on the news, on CNN News, that he's already appropriated money that are there. I don't trust our government. I don't trust them. The Bible says, you wrestle not against principalities and powers, but spiritual wickedness in high places. What do you mean by that, preacher? Arnold Schwarzenegger has got the money appropriated, they said it on the CNN News, for this disaster that's going to happen. How does he know there's going to be a disaster? Has he got some kind of inside information that we don't know? If they released all that they do know, we'd probably be the most panicked people you've ever seen in your life. I thought about this. Mainstream Christianity, here's your given. They say now that 37% of Americans are only ones that claim to be actually born again. 37%. Listen to this. Obama's promise to give back the West Bank. It's all over the Jerusalem Post. Can I ask y'all a question? Why in the world would our president put pressure on a bunch of Hamas terrorists? That's all they are. Why would he put pressure on Israel to give back the Hamas Palestine? It's not theirs. God gave it to Abraham, didn't give it to the Hamas. Why should we start dialoguing, or why should we even talk to a bunch of terrorists? You wait till I show you, and you're gonna show them. And I thought about this, went down there to Venezuela and gave him a brother's handshake. The brother handshake. That's what you call a brother handshake. He hates America with a passion. Listen to this. Now come on, let me go a little further. So they're trying their best to give back the West Bank back to the Palestinians. They're trying to say, we're going to take the money back that we've promised Israel. You better listen to this preacher. You better hope in your lifetime that you never see America turn against Israel. You better hope. I challenge anybody here to get online, do anything you want to. Every nation that's ever turned against Israel, God turns against them. Let me show you this one. Newsweek economic crisis. Famine, global, Africa, South Africa. Australia, and this was in the paper, they said we now have what we call implant microchips in the average citizen in Australia. I screamed it 30 years ago. It's going to come to us. But nobody will accept it. They refuse to listen. We don't believe that. How many of y'all remember 9/11? Would you raise your hand? How many of y'all remember hearing this? All you heard was a national what? Sit back to me. What did y'all remember what kept coming over? The national ID. That's all you heard. National ID. And nobody would listen. They just turned a deaf ear to that national ID. But you mark this down. It's going to come back. It may take another catastrophe, but it will come back. How do you know they ain't already implanting children? How do you know that? You don't know that. Boy, y'all are looking strange. You don't know what they do to them babies at a hospital. They could easily put an implant in them. You wouldn't even know it. Give you a classic example. The government laced cereal back in the 50s with radium to see the effects it would have on children. Over 10,000 of them. And then they apologized for what they done. Hey, I rode horses all my life. Houston, I was a little boy. I'd get $4 a day to exercise horses at Churchill Downs. I was intrigued with them then, intrigued with them now. They'd take a nose twitch, and they would tattoo, if a horse was a thoroughbred horse, a horse had a good bloodline, they would take and pull his lower lip down and tattoo it. That's how they knew a good horse. Now then, guess what? They're using a micro dot they inject under the skin. I could show you, if y'all want to get in on you, really get in, pull your credit cards out, and all of them's got a hologram on them. Why they got a hologram? Why does Kentucky License have a hologram on them? Did y'all ever look at them? Did you ever look at it? Why does a Kentucky driver's license have a hologram at the bottom? Why does it have embedded K's in it? Boy, is it quiet in here. We're headed to a national ID system. You got 7.5 million Muslims in the United States. 7.5 million. All right. If they go into what's called a jihad, you ought to read the Quran. On page 307, it says, death to the infidel. Anybody that is not a Muslim in a jihad is an infidel. He dies. Either you kill them or they'll kill you. Oh, preacher, listen. Their Quran, I know people, they don't want to accept this stuff. They refuse to listen, amen. Now, I'll give you another right quick. Australia implants microchip. That was 2009 Newsweek. Israel and Haifa, the largest natural gas, this is 5 trillion cubic meters, that was in the Jerusalem Post, 5 trillion cubic meters of natural gas was found off the shores of Haifa. Isn't that amazing that all of a sudden they'd find natural gas in the port of Haifa? 5 trillion cubic feet of it. They're saying they can be 75 years of energy free of all other nations. Ain't that amazing? Yeah. Hey, all preachers say, see, God knows how to take care of Israel. Amen. We go a little further. They said, and the Jerusalem Post, they say, that reported that Turkey has joined alliance with Russia. Listen to this. Russia is now building bases in Lebanon, in Libya, Syria, and Yemen. Hey, Brother Noble, this is not a trick question. How much do you think of American soil is sold every day in the United States to a foreign entity?
Thousands of acres.
What would y'all like to know the figure? According to Newsweek magazine, $201 million of our land is sold every day to foreign entities. Isaiah says strangers will devour your land. Hey, you'd be shocked to death how much China owns of America. A little further this dip. Foreign ownership of ECI says this, average per day, $201 million of U.S. companies are sold every day to foreign entities. Listen to this. Henry Kissinger. Here's your good one. Henry Kissinger was the, what was he? Secretary of State to Richard Nixon. He said, this is, I quote him, listen to this. He says, President Obama has now got the greatest window to bring in the New World Order. Everybody thought Henry Kissinger was the greatest thing outside of ice cream. Let me give you a rewind to that again. Henry Kissinger said this, that President Obama has now got the greatest window of opportunity to bring in the New World Order. Help us, Lord. Say amen right there. And here's your really good one that come out of the newspaper. Terrorist was killed by a strange biological weapon. 40 of them died in Algeria in a training camp on January the 20th of 2009. And nobody knows of why they died or how they died. Probably training to turn it loose on the American people. Lord, it's going to get quiet in here now. Now, go back to Zechariah, please, and let me show you what I want you to see tonight, if you would, please. In Zechariah, he says, but they refused to listen. Notice something else. They rejected his advice. They pulled away their shoulder. I began to put it in my mind. I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if our leaders, wouldn't that be wonderful? And we say, we're a nation. We say, God, I get so sick of this, Miss Betty. And these slick-tongued politicians will say, God bless America. Y'all ever heard them say that? They don't even know how to say it. God bless America. Ain't that pitiful? Preacher Sisson, what do you mean? Look back in verse. Now watch it. They refused to listen, but in verse 11 it says they rejected his advice. I thought to myself, we know we're in trouble, but I don't find too many people in leadership that wants to fall on their face and say, God help us. God help us. Wouldn't that, hey, Dion, does anybody know how much we pay the Senate chaplain? Huh? I sure would like to know. I wish somebody would find and tell me how much they pay him. I heard somebody say too much. That's probably the truth. Do y'all know him by name? I don't even know who the guy is, but I know we got a Senate chaplain. I do know when the Senate convenes, he comes out and reads off a little prayer. Y'all, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a man that loved God, that would call our legislative body together, and I mean, tell them what the Scripture said and fall on their face and say, God, help us, amen. Wouldn't that be good, amen? They pay him a huge salary to do what? Nothing. He's supposed to counsel the congressmen and the senators and the legislators. Brother Sisson, hush. Let me give y'all something to really make your hair turn a little white. How many of y'all seen any of Obama's inauguration? Would you raise your hand? Anybody? Did you see the black man that gave the final prayer? Did y'all see it? Did you see it, Larry? Did you see what he done? Nobody hardly picked up on it. If the red man would do what? If the red man would do right, if the white man, and he named the white man, the red man, and then he said, the black man. He's reading them off. This is his prayer before the president. I mean, the whole United States, he's reading this off. Nobody seems to pick up on this stuff. No, they just let all this stuff go. Everybody laughed about it, made fun of it. This preacher got up there and said to the red man, the white man, the black man, the yellow man, if the yellow man would be mellow, if the white man would step up and do right. All right, Lord, shut up, Melvin. Look at, make sure you go. They rejected his advice. That's in Zechariah chapter 7. Look in your Bible. Verse 11 says, they refused to hearken. They pulled away their shoulder. Have y'all ever seen little kids do this? I can't hear you. The Bible says they stopped their ears. Look in your Bible. It says they stopped their ears that they should not hear. Again, let me say this. It's not that God's not speaking. It's just we're not hearing. That which you have an abundance of, and we've had so much of this that we just take it for granted. We take our church for granted. We take our freedoms for granted. You can't get people to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate the Word of God, contemplate the Word of God. Brother Don, they give me a hard time. They live to give me a hard time. Yes, you do. They're kidding me about what I preach. It's funny. What did I preach last night? Yeah. It'll sure enough be a long time tonight.
The guy was going to the...
I love it. What did I preach the night before last? What's in it for me? That's what all they've been giving me a fit over the last 2 years. What's in it for me? But my point is I'm trying to get you to see this. Watch this. You see, it's like water. Most of us don't appreciate water till we don't have it. It's like y'all's electricity thing down here. See, we've got so much in abundance of it till we don't take it. We just take it for granted. We think things is going to always be just like it is. We're always going to have a Lawrence Richardson. We're always going to have a good church and our freedoms. We're always going to have our freedoms. And by the way, I don't think Jesus will come in my lifetime. And the Bible says they're going to say, where is the promise of His coming? And people are not really looking for Jesus to come. Let's go back and I want to show you the truth. One, they refused to listen. Number two, look in your Bible. They rejected His advice. They pulled away the shoulder. The third thing, notice how reckless they become. They stopped their ears. They were determined to shut out God's message. And I tell you, I've never seen a time in my life like this in my life. I love people. I get involved with people. I try my best to head them off. If you knew how many people that I've got on my knees and literally begged. I mean begged them, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't get involved in that. Don't date that man. Don't date that unsaved boy. Don't date that unsaved girl. But they won't listen. They just, their self is on the throne of their life and they think they can handle their lives instead of letting God handle it. Now watch this. Though they were determined to shut out God's message. Number four, write this down for me. Notice in your Bible, yea, they made their hearts as adamant stone, impenetrable hard. Adamant. Notice they made their hearts as an adamant star. What do you mean? They made their hearts that way. Now let's just be honest. Halftime. I've been preaching a long time. I have never seen such hard hearts in my life in churches. I've never seen nothing like it. I, honest before God, I ain't quitting. Dear God, by the help and grace of God, I'm not bound out. I'm not quitting. If you knew, I am blessed to be at churches every year of my life. I'm a blessed preacher. But I'm talking about these preachers. God bless their heart. You can talk to them and they'll say, how? Brother Sisson, there's a hardness that's come over our church. Brother Sisson, how do you motivate them? How do you get them to come back Sunday night? How do you get them to fall in love with the Lord Jesus? They'll ask me that over and over again. Look in your Bible, and I'm telling you, it can happen to any of us. Watch this. Don't look down your nose. The Bible says they made their hearts as adamant stone. When Nathan got killed, my youngest boy, I had never, that was uncharted territory for me. Do y'all understand what I mean by that? I'd never been through them waters before in my life. And I went real careful. I did, because I was in uncharted waters, virgin waters. I'd never been in nothing like that before. I'd never lost a child. And I guess everybody thought that me and my wife was just absolutely going to turn over and quit. They thought we would just lose our minds. Listen to me. I understand that during that time, I was the most vulnerable I was ever in my life. Does everybody understand what I mean by that? Vulnerable. I could have gotten hard at God. Amen. I could have got bitter at God. I could have got so hard. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes people look for excuses for their hearts to get hard. And sometimes they put up all these barriers And they put up all these defenses to where they won't get hurt again. Some people have been hurt, and it's a legitimate hurt. Some people have been hurt. They've been hurt by preachers. Amen. They've been hurt by churches. But I'm saying, the Bible says, yea, they made their hearts as adamant stone. And I'll be honest with you, brother, if you don't stay in this right here, if you don't stay close to God, your heart will get hard. Amen. I'm telling you, you'll get hard. And when you get hard, let me tell you what you do. The Spirit of God can't deal with you on a one-to-one basis till He makes your heart soft again. Brother, sister. Okay, now watch this. Rock hard. The word adamant, the Webster says this. He says it's a Latin word for the hardest or the most impenetrable. That's what the word adamant. Think about that. The hardest and the most impenetrable. Ask Brother Lawrence. I've known Brother Richard for years. Ask Brother Houghton. Ask any of these men that preaches. There is a hardness that's come over us. We won't admit we're wrong. We will not. No. I'm not admitting I'm wrong. Brother, until you come to the point and you say, God, I'm wrong and you're right. You're putting these layers between you and God. That's the reason why a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church is so important. To keep your heart from getting hard, amen. Yeah. Hey, I love good singing, but I'm going to tell you right now, our country's gone absolutely singing crazy. Yeah. They major on singing. Not on preaching anymore. And you say, preacher, listen, I love good singing, but singing makes you, it appeals to your flesh. Where preaching, dear God, tears that inner man. He tears the flesh up, amen. So what I don't know how y'all feel. Man, I love to be preached to. Hey, Brother Noble, I'll slip in sometime to Celine, and I don't get to go there much anymore. Not anymore. When I do, they give me a visitor's card to fill out. And I go in, and I say, he'll say, Brother, sister, I want you to preach. No, Brother Noble, leave me alone. I said, preach to me. Forget about all these other people and preach to me. And I said, especially Mary. Man, I love my preacher preach to me. Boy, I like it when my preacher, I love it when he starts his. I love it, boy, when God tears his heart out. Hey, I love it, miss. I love it. I mean, when God just tears his heart slap out. When God tears his heart out, it tears mine up. Whoa, I can't stand for him to be hurt. And I think sometimes I sit there on that pew, boy, and here, he's a feeding my soul. Hallelujah, thank God. Y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about, do you? I love it. Boy, I don't make no apology. I like it. Sometimes, dear God, sometimes I'll just crawl to the altar. Y'all going to get this. Takes me all night. I don't want my heart to get hard.
No.
I don't want to get an adamant heart.
No.
And I sure don't want to get like some people and don't care if the whole world goes to hell. People today just don't care anymore. Let's go back and look in your Bible. It's going to get good. He says, they made their hearts as adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts ascended in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Now look in verse 13. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, they would not hear. So they cried, I would not hear, saith the Lord. Do y'all see that? David Yandel, did you see that verse? Let me show you what it means. Keep your finger there, and I want you to turn with me out to Isaiah, David Yandel. Turn to Isaiah chapter 59. I want you to read verse 1 and 2 and read it to me real loud. Isaiah chapter 59 and read verses 1 and 2 real loud for me. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? What does it mean when it says, and God wouldn't hear? Is there a point in our life that we keep asking and asking and asking and we won't take the advice from God, we won't listen to God? Is there a time in our heart that God says, all right, I won't hear you? Read it to me, Brother David. Watch this. That he will not what? Hear. Okay, Brother Noble, look up here. You can read that in a minute. There's no doubt in my mind that you love your grandkids. Ain't no doubt in my mind that you love your daughter. No doubt in my mind that you love Jeff. You go to bed one night and the phone rings, and Brother Noble gets up and staggers in there, picks up the phone. On the other end of that phone, they say, "We want you to come to Madisonville emergency room. There's been something happened." They won't tell you on the phone. Brother Noble will get dressed, him and Miss Kathy, and they'll take off as hard as they can to Madisonville. Everything in the world will go through their mind till they get to that emergency room. They get to the emergency room, and there's one of their loved ones that they love more than life itself. According to that verse there, now watch this. Some of y'all ain't never had this to happen to you. In every hospital, they've always got a little room, about a 10 by 10 that's got one door. I hate them places with a passion. Usually the chaplain of the hospital will be there, or somebody will be there to usher you into that room, and you know there's been a death. You know the first thing they'll say? Everybody's crying. They'll say, "Preacher, would you pray?" Brother Noble, God forbid this ever happened. Say you had a granddaughter that's got a temperature of 110. And they've asked her down. They've done everything. They put her in ice. They've done everything. But her temperature keeps going up and up and up. I know what Noble Crowley will do. Noble will fall on his knees somewhere and say, "God, Lord, would you please, Lord, help my granddaughter?" But what if he wouldn't hear you? Look in Isaiah 59. What if he wouldn't hear you? I don't want to get to that point in my life. Say amen to me. I fight it every day of my life. I fight it. I don't want to get to that point in my life, according to verse Isaiah 59, verse 22. I don't want to get to the point to where God don't hear me. Let me give you a classic example. Classic example. I got done preaching one night down in Thomasville, North Carolina, about 10:30. I was in my room. They come knocked on my door. Preacher said, "Brother Sisson," he was crying, said, "would you go with me to Winston-Salem Baptist Hospital?" I said, "Well, you know I'll go with you." We got in that car and we took off to the hospital. We went up to that pediatric ward. Do y'all know what I mean by the pediatric ward? The baby's ward. We go up there and there's a little incubator. And the little baby's hands, his little fingers were swollen beyond belief. Little fat hands, just an infant baby. And they had IVs all over the little thing. They had patches on his little eyes. His poor little, its little old body. You could see its life's breath going out of him. All of a sudden, I heard these chains. I looked around and they was bringing this man in. And they had him chained. And this man was that baby's daddy. And he kept doing this right here. He kept trying to get his hands up to where he could at least touch the incubator. And all of a sudden, his daddy looked at him and he said, "Son, I told you that God was going to take this up with you. I told you that God was going to take this up with you." Tears are running down his face. I mean, just running down his face. Them officers on each side of him. And I sat there and stood there and I watched that little baby exit this world. I watched it take its last breath. And I seen the daddy trying to put his hands up on us. And I thought, it's only by the grace of God that it's not me chained like that. Man, I love, anybody knows anybody around me, I love my grandkids. Folks, I'm telling you, we're in a time God only knows like I've never seen in my life. Our grandkids and our children. I don't want to get to the point in my life to where God won't hear. Trav, God bless his heart. Travis, stand up a minute and you sit me down. That's Brother Travis Ard. He won't mind me using this. It's okay, Trav. He's got a I even asked y'all to pray for her. He's got a daughter named Sarah, 11 years old. I think she was 11 at the time, wasn't she, Trav? She started having seizures. Brother Noble, terrible seizures. I mean, terrible. Pretty little thing. Brother Trav and him living at the hospital, and she'd have them seizures, and nobody knew what triggered it, or nobody knew what would make the thing come on. She'd just have seizures. The awfulest seizures. Her eyes would go back in her head, her little body stiffen up, go back. I wasn't the only one, but boy, we had everybody in her country praying for that little girl. I was over there in a revival meeting just a few weeks back, and I said, Miss Sarah, I said, honey, how long has it been since you had a seizure? She said, since September.
Amen.
That pretty smile. I put the hug on her, and I said, somebody's already touched heaven for Sarah. Don't y'all believe that?
Amen.
Sometimes I believe we give too much to do to doctors. I believe that. Sometimes I believe it's just God intervening. Say amen. Let's go back. These rock hard hearts. Hey, we need a revival. Gotta let the plow down and plow our hearts out. Amen. Get our hearts soft and tender again. Quit looking at everybody as hypocrites. I don't believe everybody's hypocrites. Say amen. I believe sometimes people just go through hard times. The trouble is, ain't nobody there for them. Say amen right there. I know there's hypocrites. I know there's people that pretend to be something that they're not. But I'm just saying, not everybody's in that condition. And we ought to say, God, let the plow down and plow my heart out. Amen. Watch this. Let's go back and I want you to look. Verse 13 says this. Here's the result. God wouldn't hear. Look in your Bible. God wouldn't hear. So I said, number one, they refused to listen. They rejected His advice. They reckless. They stopped their ears. Them rock hard hearts. And then lastly, the results, God wouldn't hear. Could I ask you a question? Well, everybody look at me. Have y'all ever seen anybody die? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever seen anyone die? You ever been with them when they died? You've been with someone died that you knew that wasn't saved? That's terrible. It's awful. Don't you listen to this? The imperative here is whether you go to heaven or hell is if you hear the voice of God. Did you ever meet Randy Wolfenbarger? Never met Randy? You never met Clay? You never met Jay? Wolfenbar, won't you look here, Brother Noble? I wish to have me a, tape. I'd show you something. I met these people 35 years ago. Randy was just a little boy. His daddy loved God. I went to see him in December, and Clayton died in January. They buried him on Saturday, and on a Monday, Randy come in there and he fell at his mother's feet and said, Mama, he said, I feel like I'm going to collapse. And can you believe that that boy died and they pronounced him DOA at the hospital? But here's the kicker. If y'all knew how many times I've witnessed to that boy, he had 27-inch arms. I took a tape measure and put around his arms. He had 27-inch arms, pumped iron all the time, lifted weights all the time. I tried my best to win him to the Lord. I said, Randy, I've pleaded, I've begged. They buried his daddy, and 3 days later, Randy died. I went up there to help take care of Randy's funeral. 27-inch arms. He could bust shirts. He loved to brag about throwing people out of bars and hell holes. He loved to brag about it. Randy wasn't saved, by the way. He wasn't saved. And guess what his mother told me? Jay's been my friend for years. She says, I'll never see Randy again. I have never had nothing experience like this in my life. It's just been a few, just ain't been too long back. We went into that funeral home, and the funeral home was filled with people. And they had Randy laying there, and he had a Colts t-shirt on. And had a cap, a ball cap on his head. And Randy was a biker. He always rode them bikes. He went down to North Carolina, that biker convention, wore them old do-rags, 27-inch arms, or legs like this. Bragged about how, I said, Randy, one of these are going to be somebody a bit meaner than you are. Been cut, beat on, you can't believe all this stuff. Living them old bars, hell holes. Kept asking him, Randy, I said, Randy, you need the Lord. Randy, I said, you need to get saved. Had a terrible sickle wreck and about killed him. God spared his life. Went to the hospital, witnessed to him. He wouldn't listen. Me and the preacher took care of that funeral. And the funeral director said, we're going to go back here, said, we're going to pray for you men while y'all are preaching. Funeral director. Boy, these backers come in. I wish y'all could have been in that funeral home. Backers. Y'all know what I mean by backers? They wasn't disorderly. They come in all their leathers. They come in and hit, and this is one of their brothers. They filed past that coffin. They looked at Randy. They was all quiet and reverent. Went over and sat down. And I preached on hell as hard as I've ever preached in my life. And five of them raised their hand as unsaved. We went to the graveside, and it was so bad that it almost blew the tent down. And I'd never seen such a coldness. I mean, the awfulest cold that I ever seen in my life. Snow, rain, sleet, everything on the side of that hill. And all of them backers stood right there, every one of them. And I told every one of them, I said, if you're here and you raised your hand, I want you to know that that's God. And I want you to know that there's more to salvation than just joining a church. And I said, I want you to know right here on the side of this hill, you can pass from death unto life. Don't care what you've done, how far you went into sin. Amen. All of a sudden, this gulp of wind come, and almost the tent just took the thing off. Because everybody was just alarmed. What I want you to listen to this. Why didn't they get saved? They can blame everything, but they can't blame God. They can blame everything, but I don't believe they can blame God. In fact, I don't believe they can point a finger. Are there people praying for them at that funeral home? My point is some of you are sitting right here tonight, and you got loved ones on that way, that broad road to call to hell. And some of you, if you'd be honest, your heart's a lot harder today than it was even last year, if you'd be honest. Did you know circumstances will make you hard? Did you know things can happen to make you hard? You have to fight it. We need a revival where we'll say, God, let that double plow down. And Lord, plow furrow right through the middle of my heart. And Lord, I don't want to be hard. You know what I'd like to do? I want us to stand, bow our heads and close our eyes. We say, Brother Sisson, boy, I believe in the imminent return of the Lord. I believe Jesus could come at any moment. Well, wonderful. But I sure don't want to stand before him with an adamant heart. Hey, our heads is bowed and eyes is closed. We're so hard anymore we can't say I love you. We're so hard anymore we can't even come to an altar. How many of you would slip your hand up by testimony and say, boy, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. That in itself ought to make you want to come and fall on your face and say, God, thank you. I don't want to get to the point in my life to where God won't hear me. Young people, this world will wreck and ruin your life. Please come tonight. Would you please? Come on. Just get out of your seat and come. Behold, your iniquities and your sin have separated you that God will not hear. God bless their hearts. Come on. Boy, you ought to come and say, God, help me to be a prayer warrior. Lord, help me to pray for my children, my grandchildren. Drop a hedge around them. They refused to listen. They were reckless, yes. Then that rock-hard hearts, adamant stone, impenetrable hard. But then there came this. There came the what, Brother Sisson? If you look in the last verse, the result was God wouldn't hear them. If God's dealing with your heart, please don't leave here. Deep down in the inside, you know if God's dealing with you or not. But every time He deals with you and you can get away from it, it's a whole lot easier the next time. Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm glad that You're bigger than any problem that we'll ever have. Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, we that are saved, thank God, that's the blessed hope. Lord, that's Your hope that we have. When Jesus comes, He'll right all the wrongs. But Lord, would You please help us not to get so hard in life that, God, we can't even be moved with compassion. Lord, I think about the family, Lord, of Randy Wolfenbarger. I think about those that, Lord, I think about Miss Jay. I think about Steve. Lord, would You please help us tonight? God, I remember standing at the coffin of my mom. Lord, my heart was so tender. Then, Lord, my baby boy. And I thought, oh, God, I cannot live through this. Lord, I look back and I say, God, thank you. Lord, we're never any more closer to you than when we are with a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these that have come. And you know the need in every heart in this building. Lord, if there's one here unsaved, God, please draw them, break them. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing, brother. What page? Page 333 in your hymn book. I want you to listen. Sing, brother.